wish that this were a two-way conversation and I could ask you, what in the world do you think it means to abide in the Spirit and to bear much fruit? But it's not a two-way. So what you're going to have to do is go to Galatians. That's where we both need to go, and I hope you'll go there with me, because it is so incredibly exciting when we start thinking about being in Christ 24/7. In Greek, abide means to not depart, to remain one. We don't exert any effort to remain abiding. Never a moment are we not abiding in Christ when we accept Jesus. It seems as if we are continuously and effortlessly abiding in the Father's presence. You just have to love that. Abiding means to be in permanent union with Jesus. Relax and trust in Him. The abiding is not up to us. I have to stop worrying about me, and you have to stop worrying about you. I have died, we have died, and our lives are hidden in Him. Abiding is settled, not from our side, but from His side. You see, fruit doesn't struggle. I love that Paul used the vine and the fruit, because that's such a visible way for us to learn. The branch doesn't produce fruit without effort on its part. The branch does produce fruit without effort on its part. God bears fruit through us. We just need to get out of His way and hang on. We are the branches through which the life of God flows. We have to stop and just take a deep breath when we think about that one. All responsibility is on Jesus. Our only responsibility, sweet friends, is to rely on Him. The Holy Spirit bears the fruit through us. We're like a branch. A branch is a conduit. He has chosen to use you and me to show others what Jesus is like. The Greek word translated fruit refers to the natural product of a living thing. Paul used fruit to help us to understand the product of the Holy Spirit who lives inside every one of us as believers. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit, not by us. The Greek word is singular, showing that fruit is a unified whole, not independent characteristics. As we grow, the characteristics of Christ will be manifested in our lives. Yet, like physical fruit needs time to grow, the fruit of the Spirit won't ripen in our lives overnight. Boy, I wish it would. But there's a battle against the weeds to enjoy the fruit that we want. We must constantly work to rid our lives of the weeds of our old sinful natures that want to choke out the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power we need to reject those old sinful desires. We can say no to sin and accept the way out. We have a way out. God has given us a way out. I'm trying to find my scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And by following the Holy Spirit's leading, we give the Spirit more control of our lives, and He begins to do in and through us what only He can do, to shape us and grow us to look like Jesus. And you're going to need to read 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 to get the full meaning of that. Since God's goal for all of us is to be like Jesus, the Holy Spirit constantly works to rid our lives of the sinful nature and display His fruit instead. Therefore, the presence of the fruit of the Spirit is evidence that our character is becoming more like Christ. In order for a tree to yield fruit, it goes through a cycle. It has to be planted in good soil, be nurtured, have light, has to be watered. The fruit is initially a seed, then a seedling, then a sprout, until it's a fruit, ripe for picking. You know, when I was thinking about what I've written here, I thought about right after Ole and I married, he planted this little old stick in our backyard that he was praying would become a peach tree. And every evening when he'd come in from work, he'd go to the sliding glass patio door and he'd look out there at that stick. He so wanted to see some leaves. So one day I taped some leaves on the stick. And from the doorway, it looked pretty much like it had sprouted leaves. And I thought that I was going to just fall in the floor when I watched him come in from the office, go to the patio door, and then run out there to look at those leaves. Of course, when he got close, he could tell they were fake. And you know, I thought when I was preparing this, I thought the fruit of the Spirit's the same way. You know, we can fake stuff, but when people are around us and get to know us and see how we behave, you can't fake the fruit of God. You can tell whether it's real or not. We're told to walk by the Spirit. It's a command. And in Ephesians, we're told to be filled with the Spirit, to yield the control of our lives to the Spirit. The flesh, because we're still human, sets its desire against the Spirit and vice versa. It's a war. It's a warfare. And it's going to go on until we, not only are we sanctified, but when we receive our glorified bodies and we're with Jesus. Fruit is singular. Pick and choose sins when operating in the flesh, but when walking by the Spirit, it's like one of the descriptions I read was, it's like a beautiful bouquet. We don't choose our fruit. Virtue is produced collectively. Well, this week, I hope you'll check out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. I know I'm going to. I'm in South Haven, Michigan right now, and I'm late getting my weekly words on, and I've got, about 50 Mary Kay sales directors as well as the president of our company here. So I hope you were able to understand this recording, but how blessed I feel that I can talk to you no matter where I am or what's going on in my life. I can share a word about our faithful, gracious, loving, forgiving Father. And I do that today. And I pray that you'll pray for me as I share some words on Sunday morning from His Word. I love y'all. I thank you for listening. Most of all, Father, I thank you for Jesus. Talk to you next week. I'll be back home. Bye.